Peace and all good from Franciscan Media. I am Father Jim Sabak, and this is the Inbreaking of the Word. Again, we are in the 28th week in Ordinary Time, having concluded the 28th Sunday in Ordinary Time. 7 weeks left of our church year, 7 weeks left of our church year until we come to the first Sunday of Advent. So this is, again, another ramping up time as we're moving closer and closer to the end of our ecclesiastical year. And like I've said before, what happens at this time of the year in our calendar is, again, we are asked always to understand what it means to live this Christian life, and the newness and the wonder that this Christian life is supposed to present to us, even asking us to reevaluate always what is it that we think is common and norms and status quo and whatever have you, and to be able to see a God who works, you know, in ways that go beyond our imagining and that go beyond our expectations and that go beyond what we think is natural and regular, not just for us, but also for God, which is always a dangerous place to be, because we think that God is regular like we are always going to be surprised at the more that God can do. And so here we come to a Sunday in which we see the effect of God upon those who are technically non-believers, non-Jews. And that you see also, we see in this Sunday, the great work of God, even touching the lives of people who do not embrace, you know, Judaism, do not embrace the way of the life of the one God. And yet God is still gracious to them. God still blesses them. God still allows them to receive, again, a portion of the wonder and beauty of what it is that God is doing in this world. So our first reading for this weekend to ponder this week, Second Book of Kings, and is the story of Naaman, the Aramite, the Aramaean, sometimes Naaman the Syrian, but Naaman the Aramaean, and his leprosy. Now, where we begin the reading of the gospel in Mass is kind of halfway through the story. So it's always good to know a little bit more of the story before we moved into the part that we are going to proclaim at Eucharist. But again, what it is basically is that Naaman is a great general for the Aramaean, for the kingdom of the Aramaeans, for the kingdom of Aram. And God basically has given him great victories, especially over Israel, because God is angry at Israel because Israel doesn't listen to anything God has to say. So, but the thing about it is, although Naaman is a great general, he has leprosy. And what to do about it? Well, they captured an Israelite girl, and she becomes a servant of Naaman's wife. And the girl says, there is this prophet, Elisha, who happens to live in Israel, and he can cure your leprosy if you go to see him. Well, what's Naaman got to lose? So Naaman goes over there with a letter from the king of Aram, you know, letting free passage happen for Naaman to visit Elisha. Well, the king of Israel, who really isn't named at this point, you know, tears his garments. You know, this king is starting a quarrel with me. He wants to, because I don't know how to heal anybody. I don't know what's going on. I don't know, you know, why you have leprosy or what to do about it or anything else like that. There's only going to be doom and destruction because I will not be able to fulfill this request that this king of Aram has sent with you to cure you. And so he gets all crazy. And someone says, shut up. Because actually, the someone that says shut up is Elisha, the prophet, who basically says, look, I can deal with this man. We just please send him over to me. Well, what happens is Naaman goes to the house of Elisha, expects Elisha to come out, do some kind of incantations, hocus pocus over him, boom, and your leprosy is cured. But that's not what happened. Elisha doesn't even come outside his house. He basically sends a messenger to Naaman to say, go wash in the Jordan 7 times and your skin will become as white as snow, like that of a newborn, what have you. And Naaman disbelieves first. You know, I mean, well, you didn't do any incantation. You didn't even come out to see me, you know. And what's the great thing about the Jordan River? There are greater Jordan rivers in Syria where Aram was, you know, Damascus, what have you. I could go wash there. And someone says to him, again, if the prophet had told you to jump off a cliff to get cured, you would do that. But because of something simple like this, you don't want to do it? Well, try it. Let's see what happens. Naaman does. And this is where we begin the reading this Sunday. Naaman does, and his skin becomes as white as snow, is like a newborn and what have you. Naaman is struck, you know, with dumbfoundedness, astonished that this has happened. And basically tries to pay Elisha for doing this. And Elisha says, I don't take money, because he's a good prophet. I don't take money to do this. But then Naaman says, then give me some of the dirt of this area, and I will now use it, you know, to build an altar to this God, and I will no longer worship the gods, you know, of Syria. Naaman's life has changed, you know, because again, God was gracious to this foreigner, to this alien, to say, you know, come and experience me and see what happens. And Naaman's life is cured. It's changed forever. And he becomes somebody, you know, who begins to follow, you know, the one God, the one true God of Israel. That is connected with Luke's gospel today, in which 10 lepers go to Jesus saying, help me, we all have leprosy, you know, save us. And basically Jesus says, go show yourselves to the priests and, you know, you'll be cured. Well, on the way, they're all cured. They're all cured. But only one of them, who himself again happens to be a Syrian, goes back to Jesus to say thank you. And Jesus says, weren't 10 cured? Where are the other 9? You know, but Jesus doesn't bring back the leprosy on them. You know, he basically, you know, congratulates or confirms or affirms, you know, this, again, foreigner, this non-Jew, you know, who recognized the fact that he had been cured and basically just went back for a simple thank you. You know, he said, again, you've been saved because, you know, of your faith. You know, even though you don't believe what we believe exactly, you know, you dared to know gratitude. You dared to know graciousness. Again, as we as believers who walk through this world, you know, thinking, you know, God has given us all these kinds of things. God does all kinds of things like that. Do we show gratitude, but do we also show graciousness? Because those two characteristics, those two behaviors, those two attitudes basically are the crux of the sacraments. Again, gratitude for the graciousness that God shows us in saying, here is a way that our world shows you, you know, who I am as God. Here is a way in which creation that I have made shows you that I am God. Be grateful for that. Be grateful for that because, again, it is all gift and nothing but gift. Naaman receives a great gift by just washing himself in the Jordan River. The Syrian who is not named, who is a leper, comes back to thank Jesus, you know, for this great act. Many times there isn't much thank you that happens, what Jesus does in Scripture, and yet one of the main thank yous comes from a person who was a non-Israelite. Again, evaluating our own selves, how it is that we are so thankful for what it is that we find that God has presented to us, that is perhaps unexpected, that is perhaps opposite than the way we things should work, as Naaman, you know, kind of experiences. How do we show that gratitude? How do we show that thanksgiving, you know, in an act that is graciousness? I know that I didn't deserve this. I know I did nothing to merit it, but God, you saw fit, you know, to give it to me. And because of that, my life is changed forever. Both for Nathan, for that Syrian, and for all of us, again, who experience that wonder and beauty of God. You know, matched in with this is that second letter to Timothy, which we've continued to read, you know, for the past couple of weeks, in which basically Paul says, you know, that he keeps proclaiming the gospel, you know, even to the point of being whipped and chained and whatever it is, you know, that he keeps proclaiming it because it's about perseverance. It's about remaining faithful. It's about not denying God. It's not denying the power of God. Because the more that we do that, the more enriched we are and the more capable we are of seeing a God at work in this world. Gratitude and graciousness. Two components of the sacraments, two components of the way in which God shows us truly who and what we are as great creations of God in this great and wonderful world that God has given us. How do we manifest then the wonder and beauty of what it means to be called holy in the many ways in which we are thankful, in the many ways in which we extend of ourselves into the lives of others, in the many ways in which we seek to love and forgive without measure? Those actions, those realities, those truths mark us as true believers, as true followers, you know, of the Son of God, of the one who is all in all. And that always be true for us, especially as we manifest who and what we are to the world by what we say and what we do. Continue peace and good always upon you. May the Lord, from Franciscan Media, and may the Lord give you his peace.